God has placed dreams and visions in your heart. What do you do when it is challenged by unexpected circumstances along the way? Is our God greater than these? Discover God in the hard places in this life-giving message by Pastor Paul.
Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And this morning, God will visit you. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 21, thank you, Lord. Genesis chapter 21, he says, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. This morning, God will visit you. Oh, are you in church this morning? I said this morning, God will visit you. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and did for Sarah as he had spoken. When God speaks, he is able to do it. When God speaks, he is able to do it. And God will visit you this morning. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I'm excited. Good morning, everyone. Good, so good to see everyone in God's presence and in God's house today. God is faithful to bring us into his presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And all this month, wow, it's the last weekend in January already. Where did January go? my. Thank you, Lord. But it's good. God is so good. All right, let's get into our Bible lesson this morning. God has something special for us today. We already talked about Abraham, and we'll continue along those lines. Let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And be sensitive this morning as God's word goes forth. The Bible says that when Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Let's all say that this morning. I am Almighty God. Say it louder. I am Almighty God. That's good. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer will your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Hallelujah. God bless his word this morning. All this month, we have been looking at various aspects and pressing into what God has for us in this new year. And in this passage, you have to realize it starts with saying that Abraham was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am Almighty God. I am Almighty God. I am Almighty God. And what you have to understand is, in the Hebrew, the word Almighty God literally says, I am El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. The God who is more than enough. And walk before me and be blameless. And the thing that you also have to realize is, you see, when God told Abraham to leave his country and go to another land that he was calling him to, and that he was going to give him a seed and a child, he was 75 years old. And here he is, 99 years old, and God is saying, I am Almighty God. God is a good God, and we have to settle that in our heart as well. He's a good God, and when he speaks, he's able to fulfill. But you see, when you think about wisdom, God is the all-wise God. Wisdom comes from God. Absolutely, it comes from him. Daniel said, realized it in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Thank you, Lord. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Notice what the Bible says. He says, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. 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 He's all knowing. He knows everything. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 7, and even beyond, we see that he knows everything. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 139, verse 1, he says, God, oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. He knows you. Don't ever forget that. God knows you, and he is everywhere. He knows you, and he knows everything about you. For some people, that is scary. But for us who are Christians, walking in the light of God's word, we know and we are comforted. He says he knows everything about us, and he's with us all the time. There is no place that you can go and hide from the presence of God. He knows you. And you have to realize also that God is love. God is love. He doesn't just have love. Love is who he is. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Thank you, Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Glory be to the name of the Lord. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says that he who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Let's all say that this morning. For God is love. Say louder, please. For God is love. For God is love. That is who he is. He loves you more than you can even think about. For God is love. And he is the almighty God who is more than enough. Thank you, Lord. Notice what he said in Psalm 62, verse 11. Thank you, Lord. Settle these things in your heart this morning. He says, God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God. Power belongs to who? Power belongs to God. Power belongs to God. He is the Almighty God. And you have to realize also that he can do all things. Notice what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Think about the most impossible circumstance of your life and ask yourself, is it too hard for God? There is nothing too hard for God. He's the Almighty God. Notice what the Bible says. Again, Jesus repeats the same thing in slightly different words in Luke chapter 18, verse 27. Luke chapter 18, verse 27. But he said, these the things which are impossible with man are possible with God. The things that we consider impossible with man are possible with God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, sometimes in reading the Bible, we can sometimes confine what happened in the Bible to just what happened back there, and it may not be able to happen in our day. God is the God. With God, with man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Settle that in your heart. Is there anything too hard for God? Nothing is too hard for God. The God who parted the Red Sea, and caused the children of Israel to pass through is the same God today. He has not changed. You see, man may change. Man with man, it may be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God appeared to him and said, Abraham, and said, I am Almighty God. And for somebody at the age of 99 years, when God had given him a promise at 75 years old, it's a big deal. And sometimes the dreams, the visions, the things that God has for us, when we go through the hard places or the difficult places in life, we have to reassure ourselves when we get to the point of hopelessness, when we get to the point of despair, that is when God appears to us and says, I am Almighty God. I am the God who is more than enough. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I mean, we must live our lives from that perspective. We must live our life from that perspective. Even though it may seem like the circumstances of our life, it may seem dead and impossible, with God, nothing is impossible. Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendant be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. He was also able to perform. Number one, we must get to the point where we trust in God Almighty. Where we trust in his goodness. Some people put their trust in different things. Some people put their trust in money. Some people may put their trust in the power from a natural standpoint. That is where their trust is. But on the other hand, when we put our trust in God, we will never be disappointed. We will never be disappointed. I am God Almighty. When we get to that point where we think we are finished or we are done, God says to you, I am God Almighty. When we get to a point of hopelessness and despair, God comes to you and says, I am more than enough. He is more than enough. He can create something out of nothing. He can create something out of nothing. And God is doing the same marvelous things in our day. And this morning, like I said, he will visit you. Notice to Jacob, he said in Genesis chapter 35, verse 11, he repeated the same thing to him again, to Jacob. Also, God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply, a nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. I am God. He was very lonely at this point. But God came to him and said, I am God Almighty. No matter how we may feel hopeless, we can be assured that God is with us all the time. The next thing that he told him was, walk before me. Walk before me. That is something that we must come to a place, even in this new year, that we will walk with God closer than we have ever done before. Walk before me. Walk before me. You see, when we go to God, we must come with humility and a contrite heart and come from that standpoint. Oh, but when we are facing the world, oh, we must come with boldness and with confidence. When we come to God, we must come in faith as well. Hebrews 11 says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you come to him, you must believe that he is, and he is. He is, and he is. He is, and he is. Glory be to the name of the Lord. We must come obeying his word unconditionally, believing and trusting in God Almighty. And he will pour on us his grace, his blessing, his mercy, his faithfulness. And what people say, when people say it cannot, God, it cannot be done. God will come through and show us that with him, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Some people say, some people say, I don't believe in miracles. Well, you will believe in miracles when you need one. You will believe in miracles when you need one. Now, during World War II, the Dunkirk evacuation is called the Exodus of the 20th century. What happened was that the German army was so formidable that it attacked France and swept over most of its territory within 10 days. And the British and French and Belgian troops were cut off by the Belgian army. And the other Allied soldiers were being stranded at the beach and the harbor of Dunkirk. They seemed about to perish or be captured in a few days. And if they had done that, the war would have been over. They were facing the sea on one side and the Germans on the other side, just like the Israelites in front of the Red Sea, with the Egyptians pursuing after them. They only had 34 ships to evacuate the soldiers. According to the record, they had to evacuate 338 soldiers in a week. It looked hopeless from the natural standpoint. Then Winston Churchill called for an unprecedented week of prayer, saying, Allied soldiers of Britain and France are in dire peril in Dunkirk. Pray for their safe evacuation. The leaders also asked all the ships and boats in the area to help them evacuate the soldiers. Then about 900 boats, the little ships, including merchants and private fishing boats, joined the evacuation. During the week between 27th of May and the early hours of 4 June 1940, 338 soldiers evacuated from Dunkirk. During the week of evacuation, a miracle happened. God changed the weather conditions dramatically. On the German side, it rained so heavily that the German tanks could not advance to Dunkirk because the roads were too muddy. Since the sky was blackened by storm clouds, their fighter bombs could not take off either. 338,000 Allied soldiers safely evacuated from Dunkirk during the week, while only 30,000 soldiers were killed or captured by the Germans during the Battle of Dunkirk. The Dunkirk evacuation was the greatest miracle that happened during World War II. It is sometimes called the miracle of the Dunkirk Beach. Nothing is impossible with God. These people were facing a situation where they could have been defeated. But somebody somewhere said, let us pray to God. Let us pray to God for a safe evacuation. Let us pray to God for a miracle. And as they prayed, God changed the weather in their favor. and the soldiers were safely evacuated. Miracles don't just belong to the Bible, because the God who did miracles in the Bible is the same God today, yesterday, and forever. And this morning, it doesn't matter the circumstance of your life that seems impossible. It doesn't matter the circumstance of your life that seems like you are fainting and you are hedged in. And from the natural standpoint, nothing can come out of it. But I have come to assure you by the word of the living God, oh, that you don't serve a dead God. You serve a living God. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. And God, who did it in the past, as you believe and trust in him, he will deliver you. If you believe that, say amen this morning. My Lord and my God. Glory be to the name of the Lord. When the Germans got there, no one was left. Everyone has safely evacuated. Glory be to the name of the Lord. How can we experience this miracle power in our day? Number two, we must trust in the word of God's promise. We must trust in the word of God's promise and put it in our heart and speak it out of our mouth. Genesis chapter 17 verse 2, he says, I will confirm my covenant between you and will greatly increase your numbers. Verse 4, he says, as for me, my covenant is with you. You will be the father of many nations. God confirms his covenant with us. The word of God shows us, his provision, his promises. But the thing is that we have a part to play as well. We must dwell in the word of God. We must hold on to the promise of God's word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God came to him and said, now I am changing your name. I'm changing your name from Abram, which means exalted father, to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. And Sarah, to Sarah, which also means a mother of many nations. God, remember what we read in Romans chapter 17 and downwards, he says, God who calls those things that be not as though they were. So put yourself in Abraham and Sarah's shoe. They go out, and now when they introduce themselves, they say, my name, God has changed my name. I'm the father of many nations. Father of what? Many nations. There's not even one child that belongs to Sarah in sight. You see, when you are walking by faith, sometimes faith doesn't make sense to the natural person. To the natural man, I'm sure they'll be laughing at that. My Lord, these people have become so upset with children, they are calling themselves father of many nations. And then think about Abraham. When he wakes up in the morning, now he wakes up Sarah and says, Sarah, mother of many nations. And Abraham says, Sarah says to Abraham, father of many nations. And Abraham says to Sarah, mother of many nations. Good morning, Sarah, mother of many nations. Good morning, Abraham, father of many nations. But God is applying a principle here. God, who calls those things that be not as though they were. As they keep calling themselves by the name that God has given them. Now God takes that material and transforms their lives. And the baby comes. And as they are doing that, remember in Genesis chapter 15, he had showed him the stars. And showed him how great his descendants were going to be. He's working on their inner image. He's working to change the way they see themselves. He's working for them to be able to see the promise of God and speak in line with God's word. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do? When God speaks, he acts on his word. God keeps his promises. Heaven and earth may pass away, but the word of God will not pass away. God is not a man that he should lie. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Thank you, Lord. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Let's all read that together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? 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 God is not a man. That is the mistake that sometimes we make. He is not a man that he should lie. Man can give their word and may not fulfill it. Man may lie to you, but God won't lie to you. Oh, when he speaks, will he not do it? When he speaks, he will do it. In the mighty name of Jesus, every promise that God has spoken concerning your life, concerning any situation of your life, I have come to assure you by the word of God that if God has said it, he will do it. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, but we have to agree with him. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says that how can two walk together unless they are agreed? God gives us his promise. And sometimes the promise that he gives us may be contrary to what we see in the physical. It may be contrary to what we see in the natural. But we agree with God. 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 No matter how difficult it may seem, agree with God. Agree with God. How can you walk with somebody if you are not going to agree with them? Agree with God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Smith Wigglesworth was a British evangelist or a prophet. And in the early days, in the early 1900s, he came along with a very powerful miracle ministry. And in some cases, dead people were brought back from the dead. And they asked him, and he said this: when God speaks, I absolutely trust it. Our attitude towards God's word should be our absolute obedience without questioning or arguing. If the Bible says so, it is so. We have to accept the Bible, accept what the Bible says, counting and acting on it. The word of God is the only key to all problems. Nothing else on earth can replace the word of God. He continued to say, there is no difference to God Almighty between healing a light toothache and raising the dead. You see, for us, the difficulty is on our side. It's not on God's side. For God to heal a toothache or to raise a dead body, somebody who is dead, from God's perspective, it's nothing. To us, it's a miracle. But not many of us know God is in the miracle business. A miracle, what seems to us as a miracle for God, that is what that is normal to him. That is how he functions. It's easy for him. We must have absolute faith in the word of God. Let's speak the word of God with our mouth. Then the word will bring the miracles and the grace of God in our lives. With God, nothing is impossible. I want us to get that settled. Thank God for what the doctors can do. And sometimes they without them, some people will have died a long time ago. But sometimes they get to their limitations and they say this condition is incurable. There is nothing they can do about it. God is the one that we must look up to in those cases. Look up to him. He's the God of all flesh. Nothing is too hard for him. This week I had a testimony of a gentleman. His wife was pregnant, and they went to the hospital, and the doctor said due to the condition of the baby and this pregnancy, they have to do surgery on the baby. The gentleman said, "No, you are not going to perform any surgery." The doctors were confused, like, "We have to perform this surgery." He's like, "No, we are not going to perform this surgery." They said, "Why?" You know what he said? He said, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This baby will be delivered normally." And to the glory of God, the baby was delivered normally. It's so simple. You see, thank you, Lord Jesus. Speaking in line with God's word. Speaking in line with God's word. Agree with God. Don't disagree with him. Agree with God. Agree with God. Agree with God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So what are some areas of our lives where he shows up? As the God of the impossible. When it seems difficult, from a spiritual standpoint, he reveals himself as our healer. The God who is more than enough. He reveals himself as our healer. He reveals himself all throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ. We see him doing that. He reveals himself as our healer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Agree with him. Thank you, Father. There's a woman in Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 34. She had worked with all the physicians, she had spent all her money on the physicians, still couldn't get help, but she still had the issue of the flow of blood. But when she met Jesus, one contact with Jesus changed everything. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you live healthy. If there's any sickness in your body this morning, may God touch it and take it away in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, if the doctors have given you a report that seems impossible, oh, go to God and in the mighty name of Jesus, receive your healing this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, in another area where he reveals himself, we see that in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please, bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring to me, and afterward make some for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. She and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he has spoken by Elijah. How destitute can this get? There is famine in the land, and she has run out of resources. In the natural, sometimes we get to the end of ourselves. And the interesting thing here is, Elijah had prophesied that there will be no rain on the land except according to my word. He locked up the heavens and put the keys in his pocket. But what he didn't realize was that the famine was going to affect him as well. It was going to be impacted by the famine. But God had a plan. How many of us know that God always has a plan? Oh, I thank God he always has a plan. Go to this person. That, and when he got there, the person, they said, this is my last meal. I'm going to eat this and be done with. And that is where we come in. The woman at that point has an option to obey the word of the Lord that has come through the servant of God, or choose to disobey it. You see, for us to see the fulfillment of God's plan and God's, what God has for us, we must get to the point where we say, Lord, whatever you say, we are at your command, we will obey. The prophet said, you just beg for me. I mean, the thing is that what she has is not enough. She's at the point of death. If she keeps what she has, they are going to die anyway. What does she decide to do? She just decides to trust herself on the promise of God. On the promise of God's word. I will obey the word of the Lord. I am going to do what God says. And we realize that when she did that, did she die? No. The Bible says that Elijah and she and her son ate for many days. Many days. The commentary in my Bible says for a whole year. A whole year. She went from being destitute to having an abundance. That oil, the jar of oil did not fail. She was able to go for a long time on the provision of sticks. The bread did not fail. From a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray that this year may you experience the abundance that God has for your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Oh, I pray in the name of Jesus, may you experience God's best. You see, there's another account in 2 Kings chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. You see, Elisha was flowing in the same steps as Elijah, so the miracles sometimes are very similar. But notice here, 2 Kings chapter 4, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant fear the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from your neighbors. Empty vessels, do not just gather a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. My Lord and my God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The creditors are coming for her sons. Think about how these creditors, they are. They came in the house, and the only precious thing they could see was those two children, those two sons. But the thing that you have to see here is this man, that this widow was the widow of a prophet. And the prophet had served God. Unfortunately, he had left debt behind. But some way, somehow, God looked on what he had done and had mercy on this family. But you see, the thing is that God gave an instruction. God will always give us an instruction. God will always give us what out there. You see, there's to every miracle, there's what God will do. There's God's part and there's our part. You see, someone said, any faith that makes God absolutely responsible for the outcome of our life is an irresponsible faith. Because he has given us his promises, we have our part to play. This woman here, the prophet gave an instruction and says, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not just gather a few. What if she decides and says, this prophet doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm just going to sit here. Will she be delivered? No. No, she's in a hard place. She's in a very difficult place. But she has to obey the word of God to see the miracle. And thank God she did. She did. She did. And the barren place of her life was turned around. Now, she not only was able to pay off her debt, but she has some left over. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, may God get someone out of debt this year.
Amen.
And may you have more than enough, oh, in the mighty name of Jesus, to be a blessing.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus, as you cooperate with God, may you enter the fullness of that which he has for your life. Oh, even though it may seem difficult, if you are willing to yield your life and your life to him and what you have in your hand, he can take it and multiply it and make it a blessing. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the God who is more than enough that showed up on behalf of this woman, in the name of Jesus Christ, may the God Almighty show up on your behalf. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord God. With God, nothing is impossible. God is saying to you this morning, I am a God who is more than enough. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. My. Glory be to the name of the Lord. How can we experience his blessing and his in our lives and all that he has for our lives? God, we started from that standpoint. God is love. He doesn't just have love. He is absolute love. Loves you so much. But to see his fullness in our lives, number one, we must. It's so important. I keep coming back to it. We must decide that we are going to obey God. We are going to obey him completely. That is what he said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 2. Thank you, Lord. He says, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you where? High above all nations of the earth. And all these things shall come on you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God.
Amen.
Then he goes down to talk about all the blessings that will come on them when they obey. Jesus says something similar. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says something similar. He says, the one who loves me is the one who does my commands. John chapter 14. Thank you, Lord. Verse 21. He says, he who has my commandment and keeps them. It is he who loves me, and he loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You love him and obey him, life gets interesting. He will manifest himself to you. Imagine God gives the name to Abraham and he decides not to call himself by that new name. He's in disobedience. And all the time, he's crying out to God for a child. He's out of line. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And then number one, and then number two, we must expect him to help us. Expect him to help us. Expect him to help us in every area of our lives. Psalm 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, we will not fear. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You see, it doesn't tell you that you won't get, there won't be trouble. He knows that he knows Jesus has been down here before. He sits where you sit. So, but the good news is, he says what? A very present help in trouble. That is why he says, you look to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There are some troubles that we go through that we can't even share with anyone. There are certain things you can share with the pastor and he will pray with you, he will help you. But there are some places of our lives, it's closed up. We don't want to share it with anyone. But this morning, God is saying he's present with you in that trouble. And he will help you. Notice what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 41. Verse 10 to 13. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 41, 10 to 13. He says, fear not. That word fear not in the Bible is so important. It occurs so many times. For what? I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who are incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. I like that. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Oh, this is not man speaking. This is Almighty God speaking. He says, I will be your God. I will help you. The troubled places of your life, oh, I will help you. The enemies that you see today, they will be against me. They will become non-existent. And you will not be ashamed and disgraced in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Shame and disgrace is not your portion. The Bible says, he says that they shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. In the mighty name of Jesus, the enemies that you see today, oh, by the grace of God and by the hand of God, in the mighty name of Jesus, may you not see them again. May you not see them again as you endeavor to obey and to do the word of the Lord. And then number three, call on him when you need help. This sounds so simple, but it's very important. Call on him when you need help. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. You have a direct line to the throne room of grace. Jeremiah 33, verse 33 says, call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me, and maybe I will answer. No, that's not what the Bible says. Even in the natural, when you pick your phone and you make a call to somebody, you expect that the call goes through. And sometimes it will go to voicemail. Thank God, God doesn't put you on voicemail. He just says you go through direct. Call unto me, and I will answer and show you great, Jeremiah 33, verse 3, great and mighty things which you do not know. And along those same lines, don't look to man. Make God your absolute source. Jeremiah 17, 5 says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. He shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the rivers, by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Look to man, and you will be disappointed. Look to God, and when the dry season comes, you won't even know that the dry seasons came. In the mighty name of Jesus, the last dry season you saw in your life, may it be the last one that you ever see. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. But what did he say? He said, let God be your hope. Have an image of the goodness of God. Have an image that God has solved your problem. See him answering your prayers. See him solving that difficult circumstance for you. See him acting on your behalf as you put your trust in him. Put your absolute confidence in God. The person who trusts in the Lord, he says, he's like a tree planted by the water. Similar to what he said in Psalm 1:1. He will not, but the one who is looking to man and looking up to man, he will experience dryness because man is limited. And their heart, and he says, makes flesh his strength and departs from the Lord. He shall be like a shrub in the desert. That's very unfortunate. The desert is very dry and you are a shrub in there. Oh, but thanks be to God, I see a company of people this morning whose trust is in the Lord. Amen. Whose confidence is in God. And he will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. The Bible says that that person will not cease from yielding fruit. May you not cease from yielding fruit. May I see your life being a fruitful life. I see you bearing fruit in this season. I see you bearing fruit in this year. I see your life making a difference on somebody else. I see your life, God using you for his glory. I see the grace and the ability, the gift that God has placed in you as you put your trust in him. I see it coming out and being a blessing. Oh, your life will be a blessing. I said 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 your life will be a blessing. And the final thing that he told Abraham was walk before me. And James chapter 4 verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Make a decision that this year you are going to know God more than you have ever known before. You are going to walk before God. You are going to walk with God. Jesus will be more real to you than he was before. God the Father will be more real to you than he was ever before. The Holy Spirit will be more real. Walk with him. Talk with him. He will help you. He will help you. He will help you. I see someone receiving the help of God. I said, I see someone receiving the help of God. I see someone receiving the help of God. I see God setting you as you obey him and follow him high above anything that you may be faced with. I see your life as one of fruitfulness. I see the barren places of your life being visited by God and turned around. I see your life yielding fruit, bearing fruit in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Ah, mama, 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 mama. Librostabaha. Talk to God this morning in the mighty name of Jesus and say, God, help me. Say, God, help me. Talk to God and say, God, help me. God help me. Receive his help this morning. His presence is here.
We pray this message empowered you to walk advance unstoppable in your journey towards dreams and visions God has placed in your heart. On our website, find the contact button where you can send us questions about the message you've just heard. Be sure to download our WMCI app from your app store to stay connected and grow with many great resources we have available for your Christian growth.